From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, November 9th, 2018. And on this day, we'll look at the Maine women elected to office this week. Along with our new governor, there will now be more women in the legislature than ever before. And both of Maine's senators support legislation to protect the Mueller investigation. It's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
This week, the Trump administration proposed a new rule for abortion coverage under the Affordable Care Act. It would require all insurers on the ACA marketplace to send separate monthly bills to customers for the portion of their premium that was used for coverage of abortion services. The Trump administration also finalized a rule that makes it easier for employers to opt out of contraception coverage. Maine abortion providers are criticizing the changes as attempts to make it harder to access abortion services. Patty White has more.
Insurance providers who offer plans on the Affordable Care Act marketplace are already required to notify customers how much of their premium covers abortion services. That cost in Maine, says Nicole Clegg of Planned Parenthood of Northern New England, is about a dollar a month.
And it actually included, like, eye care and a few other things. So, I mean, it's a very small cost.
Under a new proposed rule, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services now wants insurers to collect that portion of the premium in a separate monthly bill. That means customers would get two bills and have to write two checks. Kate Brogan of Maine Family Planning says that's an onerous requirement for both insurance companies and consumers.
The end result of that for the consumer is that if the consumer doesn't make any of those premium payments, two separate checks every month, then they run the risk of losing their coverage. And what that means on a broader scale is that it becomes harder and harder and harder for insurance providers to make that coverage available.
Brogan points out that Maine Insurance Co-op Community Health Options dropped elective abortion coverage last year. At the time, the co-op said that the decision was economic and driven by the fact that it was trying to dig itself out of a $31 million hole. That coverage has since been restored, but Brogan thinks this proposed rule could change that.
With all of these new hoops, it's likely that that they may drop it again.
Community Health Options declined to comment on the proposed rule. Anthem and Harvard Pilgrim directed comment to the national trade organization America's Health Insurance Plans, which says it's reviewing the rule. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services did not respond to a request for comment by airtime. But in its proposal, HHS says the rule change better aligns with federal requirements to separate funding for abortions that aren't covered by federal dollars. Federal money can only be used if the pregnancy is the result of incest or rape, or if the mother's life is in danger. As that rule opened for public comment this week, another new federal rule regarding birth control was finalized. It's now easier, says Nicole Clegg of Planned Parenthood, for employers to opt out of contraceptive coverage for religious or moral reasons.
The Affordable Care Act was designed to ensure that all people had access to birth control with no copay. And what we've seen is the Trump administration, just constantly trying to pull away at that mandated coverage.
Clegg says Maine consumers will be largely shielded from that rule because state law requires health insurance sold in Maine to cover birth control. There is at least one other rule change to reproductive health care coming down the pike. Last spring, the Trump administration announced it wanted to make changes to the Title X program, which provides funding for reproductive health care for low-income patients. Title X money can't be used for abortions, but Kate Brogan of Maine Family Planning says the new rule would require providers that offer abortions to separate that service physically and financially from other services.
And that will prevent federally funded family planning providers like Maine Family Planning and Planned Parenthood from providing abortion care or from even discussing the word abortion with our patients.
Another element of the proposal blocks providers from discussing abortion as an option unless a patient specifically asks. If the rule is finalized, Maine providers will likely find a champion in the state's newly elected governor, Janet Mills. Mills was asked during a women's forum on the campaign trail whether she would support using state funds to keep family planning clinics open if federal funding is denied.
The answer is yes, absolutely.
The final rule could be released at any time. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Both of Maine's U.S. senators are supporting a measure in Congress that would protect the independent investigation of Special Counsel Robert Mueller into Russian meddling in U.S. elections. Mal Leary has this.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has already approved legislation co-authored by Republican Jeff Flake of Arizona and Democrat Chris Coons of Delaware that would make it difficult for President Trump to meddle in the investigation or to have Mueller fired before he completes his work. Senator Susan Collins says she supports the bill.
My first obligation is to ensure that Bob Mueller, whom I know quite well and worked with when I was head of the Committee on Homeland Security, has the latitude and the resources that he needs.
Collins praised Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who was fired this week, saying he was right to recuse himself from oversight of the investigation. She also expressed concerns about Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, who has never held a Justice Department post that required Senate confirmation. While the Flake legislation has bipartisan support, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said he doesn't believe a vote is warranted. Maine Senator Angus King disagreed in an interview with NPR.
Whether they will move it, I don't know. But I've always wondered, the president continues to declare his innocence. If indeed he's as innocent as he says, he ought to want this investigation. He ought to want this investigation to go as far as it can and to clear his name.
But in a series of tweets, the president has made it clear that he opposes the legislation. The Senate returns from its election break on Tuesday. There is no vote scheduled on the Flake-Coons bill. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Women, especially Democratic women, got elected to office in record numbers around the country Tuesday night. Maine made history with the election of Janet Mills as the state's first woman governor. But there are also more women serving in the Maine legislature than ever before, 72 compared to 64 last year. And while that is well short of half of all the seats in the state house, women on both sides of the aisle say they're excited about having more seats at the table and what it could mean. Susan Sharon has this story.
In rural Lincoln County, 26-year-old activist Chloe Maxman, who helped organize the fossil fuel divestiture movement as a college student at Harvard, did something unusual for a Democrat in District 88. She knocked on nearly 10,000 doors over the past 9 months and won a House seat which had been held by a Republican for the past 8 years. She says the experience left her with a key takeaway.
There is something higher than politics, and that's our humanity and connecting in our community, respecting each other, listening to each other, agreeing to disagree, and that was the basis of our campaign. We did this to do something different. It was never about party. It was about doing something better for our community.
Maxman says people are eager for new energy and ideas about how to make politics more responsive to people who feel marginalized back home. Republican Josanne Dolliff of Rumford has similar thoughts about her victory in Rumford Tuesday night. Dolliff, who'd served on the school board, never thought about running for higher office, but she got recruited in July and beat an incumbent Democrat on her first try.
I've always stood beside my neighbors, and when I was on the school board, I always fought for those kids, fought for the teachers. And I think people around knew me as that I will stand up, I will ask the questions, I will get answers, and I will work hard.
Like Chloe Maxman, Dolliff says she's committed to representing all the people of her district, irrespective of party. And if that sounds like a different kind of message against a backdrop of highly charged political rhetoric, former Democratic House Minority Leader Emily Kane says there's a reason why.
More women in government mean better policies. You know, research shows, nonpartisan research shows, that when more women are at the decision-making tables, we have more compromise, we have more consensus, and that overall we get more done. That's just plain and simple.
Kane now serves as executive director of Emily's List, not named for her, which is a political action committee that helps elect pro-choice women to office. Other than having fewer Republican women in the U.S. House, which Kane says is disappointing, she's thrilled with the way things are going. 33 new Democratic women elected to the U.S. House, including the first Native American women, the first Muslim women, the first Latinas from Texas, and the first women of color ever to serve in New England's congressional delegation. The 2016 presidential election of Donald Trump spurred many women to seek political office, says Sarah Skillen Woodard of Emerge Maine.
I know we've seen our applications go through the roof.
Emerge Maine recruits, trains, and supports Democratic women to run for office. And this year, 19 of the 25 Emerge legislative candidates won their seats. Woodard says as more women think about running and get elected, there could be some other big changes at the State House and beyond.
Having more women in the legislature may very well mean a shift in policy priorities towards a focus on affordable health care, affordable and quality child care, family leave laws, environment protections, and really the overall protection of our most vulnerable while ensuring the stability of our economy.
Kane says the ultimate goal is for women to make up at least half of elected officials in the country and to be representative of the nation in its entirety. She and others see the wins Tuesday night as a huge leap in that direction. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Friday, November 9th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.